and welcome. This is Trials and Tribulations. I'm Phil Airy, and I've got my two cohorts.
Sarah Owen Hughes.
And me, Faith Douglas.
Well, welcome indeed. Now, this time, for the very first time, we're live. We're live at Horticap. And why are we live at Horticap? Well, there's been a really good festival going on in Harrogate, the Harrogate District Climate Control Coalition, big word, HDCCC. And we're really proud to be part of that and part of this weekend. And we've got loads of things for everybody to do. We've got the face pebble painting, and we've got willow weaving, and just other charities that have come on board to talk about what they do and what we do at Horticap to recycle and do our bit for the environment. But this podcast is all about the business of recycling. So let me introduce my my various casts of lovely people. First of all, I've got Chris. Chris Powell is the Corn Exchange. We'll explain what that is very shortly. We've got Sam Glassop, which he's representing GLL and Legal in General. And we've got Neil Hind representing the NHS, which is quite a big company. So first of all, Chris, it's
Hi.
Good to see you, a good supporter of Horticap. And so I just wondered if you can give us a bit of a rundown for people that don't know what the Corn Exchange is all about.
Absolutely, yeah. We're really focused on involving the community of the Harrogate area in helping us to repurpose and remanufacture from waste from various businesses. That's extended to various households. So we run a charity shop themed to craft, selling fabric, ribbon, braid, buttons, zips, paper crafting, beading, all of those materials have been donated by people within the community. The charity shop is run by the community, and quite uniquely, at the end of the year, the money is divided by the number of volunteers, and they choose a charity to donate the money to. We also have specific ongoing charities, which we donate to every year, and one that we've always had right the way from the beginning was Horticap.
Mm, that's right. I mean, you do so much work for us. We do a lot of collecting of various items for you, and in return, we get a lot of stuff. In fact, all the chairs that you sat on right now are all from Betty's and Taylor's. They were doing their new mess room, canteen. So all the chairs and the tables are all from Betty's and Taylor's. So we've all recycled them, because otherwise it'd have cost thousands of pounds for us. So we have a really good link up with Betty's and Taylor's, and that is what Chris is all about. You, it's their charitable end,
their community project. Yeah.
So what? So how did it start? How did you get to start this Corn Exchange?
I had a proper job, so I used to actually manage an area within the production of the tea, on the tea side of the business, but always found myself more interested in the materials that we were discarding, so the pallet wood, and knew very much about Horticap at the time, and knew that they had talent within their organisation to use that pallet wood to create garden furniture from, to create trugs, etc. And at the time, that material, that pallet wood, was costing us money to have taken away. So to me, I've always been about common sense. It makes sense to donate that to you to save us money as a business, and then for you to create money from that, but also to learn new skills in creating those items. So, yeah, it just made perfect sense to me. And I also discovered that Jenny Ruth, another group like yourselves, the local group, were more into sewing, and they could create reusable shopping bags, which was all the sort of focus at the time, out of our coffee sacks and that sort of thing. So I became very much interested and involved in actually looking at how we could repurpose the waste that we had as a company, but in a really positive way.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, we've got We sell the Hessian sacks from the coffee bean, the coffee beans, and we get all the pallets, like you say. We make the furniture, so a lot of the furniture and the bird boxes, we recycle them and we make bird boxes out of them. So we've got a real good link up with the Corn Exchange. So why is it called the Corn Exchange?
Well, whilst I was having this proper job and managing a department, we created something called a tag tea bag, which is a tea bag which has a descriptive tag attached to it via a piece of cotton. The cotton was housed on a cone, a cardboard cone, and whilst I was showing a number of students around from Springwater Special School, it's in Starbeck, where we have our factory, they... Young man, I had rehearsed all of the questions that I thought the school children would ask about how many different flavours of tea, how many tea bags per minute, that sort of thing. What I hadn't envisaged was the fact that one child was more actually fixed on looking at the bit that was left over when the cotton ran out, the cone. And he said, Mister, could I have the cone? I'd like to make it into an angel. And I thought, what a strange child. How on earth could he see that might, you know, that was a fantastic vision that he could have to see that he could make that, was it? And I said, you can have the cone, most definitely, but on the understanding that when you've made your angel, I'd like to show everybody how imaginative, creative you've been and pop it on the tree in the staff cafe, because nobody's ever come up with anything like that. And I think that's amazing that you can see that you could do that. And he did that. And well, whilst he was doing that and took it home and was making it, his sister asked if she, said she would like to make one. They rang up the factory and said, could I speak to the man that provides the cones to make the angels? And the lady on reception said, I haven't got a clue what you're talking about, dear, but what's it to... I'll put you through. There's a gentleman I think you might be wanting to talk to. He works in the factory. He's been troubled since he got here. So put him through. And I said, yes, that's me. She told her friends at school and they wanted to make them. And then a nursery down the road wanted to make them. So we saw lots of potential in providing schools and playgroups with not just cones, but reels and foil and card, all the different bits that actually in the right hands can be really useful and creative from. So we opened up our own scrap store, a waste material supply for craft purposes, and started offering it over for the use. But we never felt it was actually appropriate to charge money. So in exchange... the schools could collect things like mobile phones and holiday change and youth stamps, spectacles, all of which have a value to various charities. And whatever the value of the materials, the spectacles, etc., they collated, became the value they could spend on there. So cone exchange.
Exactly.
So it began with a child's imagination, was taken over by an even bigger child, myself, and what's it? I've never stopped, and I had no time for a proper job for about 15 years. So just
But let's face it, it's a good job.
Oh, it's a fantastic job. I look forward to getting up every morning. I rush there, and I don't rush back either. I just love it, and I'm working with lots of special children now. I'm working with elderly residential homes, getting them knitting for us for refugees. There's just lots of lovely things that we're doing, repurposing other people's materials. But actually, it's not about the money. It's about the magic, magic of involvement within our community in helping to put the planet back together.
That's what it is. I mean, the thing is, you're doing a fantastic job down there. I know we have a good link up. I pick up pattern books.
Yeah.
And we got pattern books up here and we didn't know what to do with them. So when certain companies had thrown away these pattern books, I didn't realise, are nearly £70 each.
Fabric sample books.
You know sample books that you get, I'll have this for the curtains and what have you. And they're so expensive. But then... Chris says, I'll have as many as you want. We go down to the...
knitting and stitching. That's... I have to be careful, because I do use a bead.
You do. You can say it if you want.
Knitting and bitching, yes. which is more about what it is, if I'm honest. But, yeah, I mean, it's the highlight of my year, going down to the knitting and stitching show in Harrogate and taking the fabric sample books, and we've made items from them. So we take inspirational items that we've made, and then we sell people the idea. And we literally take... our money home in a wheelbarrow. We're there for 4 days, and over the 4 days, when we last did it, we made £10,200, and mainly out of fabric sample books. But what's it?
Out of waste, basically.
Out of waste, absolutely. Yeah. Everything that we were selling was waste, and we can put that money fantastically. You know, we can really make good use of that money.
So not only you're making the money, you're recycling and reusing everything else.
Yeah, and actually inspiring other people to get involved and help to, reuse all of that waste. Quite a lot of the waste that we tend to concentrate on is the ones that don't fit into the slots, you don't fit into plastic, they don't fit into glass, they don't, you know, it's those sort of materials that we want to try and work out what we can
and
do.
And is it true at the Bettins and Taylors, nobody can throw anything?
Without me, yeah, it's got to be passed by me. So it doesn't matter what it is, yeah, they have to get in touch with me. Yeah. It's written in the policy.
And,
yeah,
and in the policy, yeah, you must ring Phil at Horticulture.
Absolutely, yeah, yes.
So, and you've been all over the UK. You went down to Blue Peter?
Yes, I did a live at Blue Peter. I did a make on Blue Peter, got my green badge, which I'm very proud of, yeah. I took a number of kids from our local school. Hookstone School is the local school for us, and we did a live make on the show, and they absolutely loved it, but it was really good. I mean, you know, I think that's where my interest in, you know, recycling and interest in repurposing and, you know, crafting was stemmed from for Blue Peter.
I mean, and you also went down to see the Queen, did you?
I don't like to talk about it, but... I have, you know, been to the palace a couple of times, yeah. I mean, it's quite an extraordinary adventure I've had.
Is it Sir Chris, or is it
not
just...
I think that's the next one up, CBE or something like that.
Oh, well.
Yeah, for all the community work that we've got involved with and done. It's not just for me, though. I mean, it's, I've got a team of lovely volunteers who, you know, they're the experts. I've got a head of wool and a head of embroidery and a head of tapestry, and then whatever the customer comes in to work, learn about and can, you know, enthuse about, share that passion and share that enthusiasm for repurposing, I've got a head of, because I just drive the van, really. But I was the only one free on the day. I was the only one free on the day to go down, unfortunately.
Is that right?
Yeah. So we met the Queen and Prince Philip, and we've been down again and met Prince Charles, and we got the Queen's Award for Sustainable Development as a company, which was lovely. It's been an adventure that I've enjoyed very much.
But they wouldn't have had that without you, so.
You need a crazy person to man it and to head it, and I just happen to be that person.
So you introduced me to our next guest, Sam Glassop, that's representing GLL and Legal & General. Sam, what is it you do at...
On a much sort of different level, to Chris, we are in effect property managers, so we will take commercial property from a number of different clients around the country and around the world, and my part of JLL is property management. So we look after them from start to finish, we lease the units, we look after the estates around them, and... My background is from a horticultural sort of bent, but also being a little bit like Chris, slightly unable to let things be thrown away. And I've always had a bit of a passion for reusing items. So my take on this has become from a larger sort of commercial background and my exposure to pretty much real estate and property management in the last 10 to 15 years.
And then every time I get a phone call from yourself, unfortunately, probably a business hasn't done so well, and you need to recycle all that stuff that's left behind.
It can be. Sometimes businesses will not flourish, and sometimes businesses will ask us for assistance where they've got an awful lot of waste that they don't know what to do with. And via... somebody else, actually, I was introduced to Chris. This is like a network, which is something I've been pushing within JLL and within our business for some time. It's about organically growing networks. And sometimes a tenant in a building will come to us and say, we need some assistance. We've got this item or that item. And we'll be able to sort of guide them in the directions of various reusable sort of sources of material. Companies that would repurpose the items, companies that have a specific use for them themselves or can pass them on as a third party.
The thing is, what I keep hearing is, if you forget the recycling, the ethical side of things, it's saving money. It's a no-brainer.
In a way, it's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do.
Regardless of whether you're coming from a commercial bent or from a charitable bent. But it's become a big issue for everybody, not just personally, it's commercial as well. And property owners, landlords, investment houses around the world now are putting ESG, biodiversity and sustainability as their number one priority for everything they're doing. And at JLL, specifically in this particular region, I've been championing this whole idea of the circular economy, reusing materials for about 10 years now, and become a bit of a sort of flea in everybody's ear about it. And it's sometimes as simple as opening your eyes and just looking around you. One of the things we've been developing up here is a, what we call a tenant waste matching service. So some of our tenants will not know that they're throwing items into a skip, into a wheelie bin that people can use on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So we will go into their factories, into their offices with them, and we'll walk around their facilities. I'll go through their bins. I'll make them explain how much of this particular item they're throwing away each week, and then I'll simply list out to them, well, I can give that to Chris. Philip Horticap can use that. Louise at Scrap Store in Leeds could use that. And then a lot of what we will get is wood-related waste externally that you see sort of day to day, and that can be completely repurposed by the likes of Leeds Wood Recycling, who turn all this wood into either products, materials, training resources for their courses, or it's the wood that really can't be used is then repurposed into wood pellets at the last. It's just a it's a whole cycle of reuse from start to finish.
Yeah. I mean, most of the kitchen in at Hopkins, the cafe downstairs, that's all repurposed because of Betters and Taylors were getting rid of all their stuff, and Sam was gave us a phone call because one of the cafes were getting refurbed. So it's saved us thousands. But it's recycling, so fantastic. And the same goes for Chris. You can't ever get rid of anything until you've talked to me first.
Exactly.
That's right. There you go. It's just a win-win for Horticap. And people don't understand that a lot of the things, it's a bit like I'm getting rid of a TV and then somebody says, oh, I wish I'd have known that 10 days ago. I've just bought a new one. It's knowing what's coming up, what potentially we can all use. So yeah, you're a really good asset for us and the other charities you've got involved.
We do get a lot of foresight, as you say. We can see events happening further down the road. We sometimes will demolish buildings and rebuild buildings, and the kitchen downstairs was a good example where a property was being stripped out and inside was a large factory canteen, and it was going to go into a metal recycling skip and be weighed in. The value of that to Horticap was immense compared to the value of weighing it in and putting it into the circular economy in that way. There was a better use for it by bringing it here to Hopkins.
Yeah. So that and your stuff's down there. So that's brilliant. So I'm going to go to my next guest, which is Neil Hine from the NHS. I guess you're representing the NHS and what you do to recycle. What is actually your job title?
That's a very good question. I've got a couple different hats I wear. I think what I'm going to talk about today is the work that I'm doing to support the NHS in becoming net zero for carbon, which is its ambition.
So what exactly is the target for the NHS, the for recycling, things like that?
So I mean, I think it's probably worth looking at why this agenda is so important for the NHS. I mean, if you look at the size of the NHS is absolutely massive, as everyone knows. It's one of the largest employers in the country, and it's responsible for about 4% of the country's carbon emissions. And along with that, there's massive amounts of waste it also generates as well. Some of that waste has obviously gone up during COVID. If you think of, I can see in the room here, lots of people very rightly wearing face masks. You know, the NHS has gone through, I think, over 1 billion face masks.
Oh.
Over the last sort of 18 months. So there's a massive emphasis on the NHS to look at the impact it has on the environment and improve it. You know, if we can make the environment better for everyone, there is a positive impact on the NHS. If we can, improve air quality, you know, if we're not impacting the environment as much, there might not be as many floods. When there's a temperature change, that can impact on people's health as well. Has a knock-on effect on the NHS. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we're looking to try and do by about 2040-ish is to try and make sure that the NHS is actually net zero for carbon,
really?
Which is a massive undertaking. But also to look at the waste it's generating and the recycling, and you know, hearing some of these examples is really inspiring, and he's getting me thinking, you know, what waste is there in the NHS that actually might have a purpose somewhere else. Mm. I'll give you one example. This isn't going to work on a podcast, but anyone in the room had a cataract, had an eye operation, a cataract operation? They've got one. Okay. There's over 100 pieces of single-use equipment which is used in one cataract operation. Yeah. And a cataract operation is the most common operation that the NHS does, and it does hundreds of thousands of those. So if you start to add up all that waste, it's massive.
And the thing is, you can't recycle a lot of it because it has to be destroyed because of hygiene and things like that. But there is still a lot that can be reused.
Yeah, so I mean, you were absolutely right. If it's anything which has been in touch with the patient, then it's obviously really difficult. And a lot of that then is incinerated. But actually now there are firms starting to look at some of this kit, and they will actually take it away, they will have to clean it, they will actually resurface it, and then it can come back into the NHS and actually use it again. There's also some other examples which are in the NHS as well, looking at, you know, equipment or things you can use. There's a great example, other side of the Pennines with Manchester City, which happens to be my football club anyway.
Oh, never mind.
And they realised that they have a lot of football shirts which don't really have a purpose. They're worn by the teams, or they're used, and then they were going in the bin. So actually now, working with Manchester Met University and some other charities, and in fact the prison service, those shirts are turned into surgical gowns for children. So if you're a child going into hospital for an operation, you know, you might be very nervous anyway and scared. But actually what you can get is instead of a very dull white or green surgical gown, you can get one made out of a football shirt. And we now know all the football clubs are starting in doing the same sort of thing as well, which is just a great,
brilliant.
A great idea to reuse.
Can I have a Bradford City one, please, for me?
We'll see what we can do.
We've got plenty.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be insulting, Phil, but there'd have to be some big footballers.
Yeah, very true. But you see, that's the thing. What could we all do? What could everybody do to help the NHS for recycling?
Well, I mean, I think there's a massive onus, I think, on people to help the NHS, not just with recycling, but the impact it has on the environment as well. I mean, think about, for example, the food you might eat or order if you're unfortunate enough to have to go into hospital. Lots of hospitals now have got to non-meat menus, so you can order a lot more vegetarian food. I think everyone knows in the men now beef has got, you know, the biggest carbon footprint of any food. If you're using an inhaler, and lots of people do, so although the emissions of the NHS are about 4% of the country, about 3% of the NHS's emissions actually come from the use of inhalers, which is an amazing figure. I mean, it was a figure I heard, and I thought, that doesn't sound right, but that is true. But now there is an inhaler you can use which isn't powered by gas. So if you're using an inhaler, go and have a chat with your doctor the next time you're in for a checkup. See if you can use a different type of inhaler. If you're going to see your doctor or going to hospital, think about how you get there. If you can avoid going in the car, that's great. You know, if you're fortunate enough, you can be able to walk, cycle, or use the bus. Helps us improve the air quality around those NHS estates. If you're not feeling well and you've been given some tablets to take, some sort of drugs, you might have those as a regular thing and you go and get them every month. Do you really need them? How many have you got in the cupboard? You know, and if you've got things which are out of date or you don't use, make sure they're taken back and they'll get recycled. And the last one is a project I'm working on at the moment around walking gates. So your walking sticks, your walking frames. We know people have got these stored in their sheds, in their lofts, under the bed, just in case.
Yeah.
Now, we want people
for burglars.
Well, I don't know what they use them for. We do know they are very good at Halloween, which of course is coming up. But if you've got, you know, any of this equipment at home, please take it back, and then we can also reuse that. We can, if we can't actually reuse it, then obviously we can put it back into the system and then recycle it, and maybe it's got to use for someone else somewhere.
Now, I have prescriptions like most people when they get to a certain age. So you can recycle the plastic bit.
If you take it back into the pharmacies, you know, there are now lots of schemes where they will have to take this.
Yeah, because we can recycle the box, that's easy. Yeah. But it's actually that bit that can actually take the foil out.
Yeah, it's a false strip. So, I mean, it's fairly new, but it is happening. Mm. So, you know, and you shouldn't be, if you have got any drugs, which you don't need anymore, they shouldn't go in the bin anyway. They should go back into the pharmacy. So please make sure you do that.
Brilliant. At this part of the show, has anybody got a question for these fairly knowledgeable people? Is there any questions about things you can do for the NHS? Things you can probably donate or use at the corn exchange, or what big business is trying to do. Have you got any questions? You don't have to have any questions. Hello, Jessica. I know your name, so we're all right. Yes, what's your question?
My question's for the corn exchange. Is there a list somewhere of things that you need? Do you have a website that people can check so they can bring you their stuff to repurpose?
We certainly do, yeah. Absolutely. So it's hello@cornexchange.org, or you can find it on the Betty's and Taylor's website and the link to the Corn Exchange. But yeah, there's a list of items because, you know, we also have connections with lots of other voluntary organisations that can make use of items that other people, you know, I mean, we can accept sewing machines and knitting machines. We don't sell them ourselves or we don't use them ourselves, but Craft Aid will have them made better, made good. And then they put a craft pack together, a business pack. So they're sent abroad as a sewing, you know, or a knitting business or a carpenter business. So there's things, you know, for Tools for Change is another one. So we've got lots of connections like Phil at Horticap, where we know there are lots of different items that people don't necessarily have the opportunity to take to a charity shop, for instance. There's lots of things that they can't take, but we can find homes for.
Any other questions? The other thing you probably don't know, and I'm not letting her speak, but Sue at the back of here, she's part of Essential Needs. And I don't know if you know Essential Needs. They're at the, what's the address? So it's at the back of Gladstone Street, just opposite M&S. And what they do is they recycle, or they reuse old furniture that people have. So if you're wanting furniture being thrown away that you don't need anymore, give it to Essential Needs. They will then, they can sell it back to anybody else. And then they have a scheme where if you're on benefits and stuff like that, you get it a little bit cheaper. So there's lots of companies around here that Harrogate's got quite a lot of charities like that. So it's little things like that that really do help. And what's the website? Is it just www.essentialneeds.com? There you go. So, yes.
Fair running there, weren't you?
Yeah. So, yes, what's your question?
I walk into town 3 times a week, at least, and I'm always picking up these masks. I always take a plastic bag with me. So where can I take them to be recycled?
So, actually, masks is a really difficult one at the moment. Now, there's a couple of sort of innovations in the system which are being looked at. Now, obviously, you can't reuse a mask as a mask, but there are firms now which will take the masks and they will melt them down and turn them into plastic blocks. If there's anywhere that we can do that up here, I must admit, I don't know. But there's a lady in the audience that might have to tell us.
I've seen a bin in Morrison's, down at Starbeck.
Yeah, there is the Sun newspaper have a box. They have a scheme going where you can pop them in.
Really?
As you're coming or as you're going in for your shopping. Yeah, Morrison's.
Because you see
Starbeck.
So many, and I know people probably aren't littering; they're just coming out of pockets. But you see so many of them nowadays, and I mean, you don't like to touch them because they've been used. But that'd be great if we can recycle them because we go through. And just here at Horticap, we go through so many of them. It's not even funny. But, yeah, so Any more questions? Oh, yeah.
Sam, please. Are you aware of any initiative to take small amounts of building surplus and consolidate it so that smaller builders could buy it perhaps more cheap? So, you know, if they have to buy a pack of 12 pieces of 2x1, but they only need to use 8, the 4, nobody has a yard anymore, so they don't store them. And a lot of the time, they just get thrown away.
There's a very good charity sort of locally called Leeds Wood Recycling, which I mentioned earlier, which are based in Leeds. They're part of the what they call the National Wood Recycling Network. I think Leeds Wood Recycling is the closest to Harrogate. What they will do is they will take back any wood of any description, be it pallets, end of production wood, just leftovers. They will cut it down into odd lengths or correct lengths, and they have got a retail shop in Leeds which will sell you one length of wood rather than having to buy a pack of 6. So on that basis, with wood, yes, there are. Historically, it's always been a case of looking at places like reclamation yards, stone sale yards that would allow you to go and pick up 5 paving slabs or 3 paving slabs. But it's something that's died off, I think, in the last 10 years. It doesn't seem to be as common to find those sorts of places. But it's something that's got to change, I think, because if nothing else, as individuals, as families, as businesses and organisations, we're consuming our way down a very blind alley. And we throw away so much that we shouldn't throw away, don't need to throw away. But ultimately, with the purpose of this podcast really is to say that there's always somebody that can reuse something or part of something. So it's a case of asking the question before you throw it away. And as individuals, as businesses, and as I say, you know, organisations the size of Legal & General and ourselves at JLL are committed to helping anybody do that. And if that means we have to, as businesses, perhaps look at reducing rents for social enterprises, for charities in the right location, or offering land that would not normally be available for the sorts of businesses like reclamation yards, and then support anybody who's got an innovative idea like that in a local context or a wider context. It's something I think they've got to be committed to do.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
I know most of what you do with my hearty cap head on. Thanks for supporting us. And supporting all the charities, whether here in Harrogate or wherever, all over the UK. So thank you very much, and thank you for listening. Well, that's it. Thanks for listening. That's been another edition of Trials and Tribulations. Now, if you liked it, please subscribe and follow. But until next time, keep it green.